Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh, we are going here. Florida attorney is accused of striking a man with a dinner plate over a buffet etiquette dispute. That's right. A Florida man. It was at the meat station where this happened.
Oh, that
makes sense. It's a Florida attorney named Mark Roher, 52. He is accused of assaulting a man with a dinner plate at a wedding reception following a dispute over line cutting at the Boca Lago Country Club in Boca Raton. According to Palm Beach County Jail records, the altercation escalated from a verbal confrontation to a violent incident, resulting in Roher's arrest. It happened, Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office detailed the events that transpired. It wasn't just a meat station. It was the prime rib cutting station, which is holy in the world of buffets. What happened is two girls apparently cut in front of Roher, who looks like he probably has never missed a meal. And enraged by the breach of etiquette, he confronted the father of one of the girls, and it set off a chain of events and bad parenting that culminated in a physical altercation. There was photos and apparently video, which have not been made available on the internet, but we all can't wait for that to happen. And they said that Roher's actions were unprovoked and aggressive. Witnesses said that he aggressively confronted the victim, and then the violent assault with the dinner plate happened. Onlookers tried to intervene and separate the individuals, but Roher persisted with the dinner plate madness. And he did admit to police that he spoke to the victim, and then he invoked his Miranda rights, but then later provided a statement. He was taken into custody, released it on a $1,000 bond after a brief stint in jail. So what have we learned here, ladies and gentlemen? We've learned several things. Don't let your brats cut in front of people at the prime rib cutting station, because it's the prime rib cutting station. That's like the Catalina wine mixer of all of the buffet stations. It's not the fruit station. It's not the salad station. That is where you get your slices of delicious prime rib meats. Okay? Very important. Number one. Number two, don't be the meathead that hits people with dinner plates because someone cut in front of you at the meat station. Pretty sure there's probably still some meat on the bone for this feller. Probably pretty sure that it wasn't his first time through that line. So everybody learns a lesson. We all go home safe and happy and full, right? There you go. Let's see. A Florida man defrauded a Middlebury woman by posing as a bank. How does this even happen? Dion Henry, 21, of Oakland Park, Florida, is charged with fraud as a level 6 felony. He tricked a woman into sending him $800 by claiming to be from her bank. Who in the world would believe this? He called her, told her to withdraw $800 and send it via money order to repay an amount that was used from her account at a Walmart in Georgia. The victim told police she sent the money, handed over receipts to verify each transaction, but then she became suspicious that the caller didn't actually work for the bank when he told her to use the Cash App Zelle. That was your first indication? Jiminy Christmas. Anybody asks me for anything, I always am immediately suspicious. Like, you're a fraud. You're a fraud huckster. So they were able to bust this guy. A Florida man was busted with 16 grams of meth. That's messed up. During a traffic stop. And he's completely cross-eyed in his photo. 41-year-old Chester McKinley. I mean, that's the name that I would think that Chester McKinley has. How is he 41?
I know.
Have you seen him? That man ain't 41. That's a 70-year-old man pretending to be 40. This, you know, you'll get methed up. You can't do meth. It was Walton County Sheriff's deputy stopped a truck for an obstructed license plate, and the driver admitted to the deputy that he didn't have a driver's license. He was only test driving his friend's truck after he was doing some repair work on it. They detained him, searched the vehicle. Oh, what did they find? They found large plastic bags containing a white crystal-like substance under the middle seat. It weighed about 16 grams, and it tested positive for the methamphetamines.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, he's, you know.
How does his one eye look at the other eye like that? His other eye.
It's I feel like there's a National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation joke happening.
Looking at his other
Got
eye.
Got kicked in the head by a donkey and went straight. I don't know. So he was arrested, charged with trafficking meth and driving without a license. $50,000 bond. Because apparently he had enough that it was just not for his own personal use. Yeah, $50,000. Florida woman runs over a 71-year-old woman on the beach. Mm-hmm. Florida woman said she got run over by a truck at Daytona Beach. The alleged driver said she did not see the woman seated in a chair on the sand on the beach where people sit when they go swim in the ocean because it's the beach. They haven't get. Yeah, how do you not see that? She told police, quote, "I never seen her." That's the actual quote. You know that, look, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say meth or liquor. Or maybe both. Just saying, you know, just feels like that's... let's see. A Central Florida man is accused of stealing appliances from construction sites. I'll have to save that one for you tomorrow. Third hour on the way. Stephen Yates will be joining us. You don't want to miss. Stick with us. Our partners that will bring you the program. It's our friends at Kel-Tec, the PR57. It is a 5.7. It's called the PR57. And it's from Kel-Tec. Brand new. They launched it, just like a couple weeks ago at SHOT Show. And they changed concealed carry back in 95. Now the PR57 rotary barreled pistol chambered in 5.7. It's redefining it with this cutting edge design and performance. So it has this innovative rotary barrel, which makes it the lightest 5.7 on the market. And by that, I mean, it's 40% lighter than the next lightest 5.7. I mean, it's crazy how light this is, but it's super well balanced. It has a unique top loading design that replaces the traditional magazine with a stripper clip, and it has a 20+1 capacity. So the left can finally be accurate and saying clips instead of magazines. And it was inspired by real world data and defensive needs. I mean, this is a 5.7 that a lady could actually conceal carry. Low recoil for ease of use and accuracy, super simple and reliable, perfect for everyday carry for literally everybody, and super affordable. The MSRP is only $399. I mean, you can get this. Visit KeltecWeapons.com to learn more about the PR57 rotary barrel pistol, 5.7, innovative and actually concealed carry. Innovative performance, Kel-Tec, that's KeltecWeapons.com, K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, "Mr. Morgan, I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody." Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back, and we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this, everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit ForThePeople.com to learn about our firm, Morgan & Morgan, For the People.
Injured? Visit ForThePeople.com for an office near you.
You guys watch Uber Say Old Bay yesterday? We can't say Uber Say Old Bay because they're very legally proprietary and they will sue you to death. And then YouTube will take you offline to death. But I kind of watched, because you know, guys know I'm such a football fan. What? Why are you laughing?
You're who I go to when I have questions.
Yeah, that's right. That's how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the pick six thing that happened.
Right. That was good.
Yeah. So, Taylor Swift was there. I was glad that we didn't. I liked the photos that I saw from Trump. There was a photo where he was standing up saluting, and he was there with his daughter, and one of his sons was there, and other people in the box. It's the first time a sitting president has attended the Super Bowl. Sidebar, I can't even imagine the security logistics for that. It makes me tired just thinking about it. Good night. They said there were snipers on rooftops, which of course, you know, that's true. That happens anytime POTUS goes anywhere. But I would imagine at the stadium, you need more. So all of that, he was there. He got applauded. I think we can play that, can't we?
Yeah.
Or no?
Yeah, we can.
Can we play him getting applauded?
Yeah.
Because I wanted to show you like a difference.
They're both pretty short, and these aren't, I don't think there's anything copyright stricken on this. So yeah, we can do that.
Okay. This is Trump being cheered when they showed him on the Jumbotron at the AIM Gay. Listen.
Rulers fight for the rain.
Oh, and they showed him, and he's getting cheered. He's getting cheered. And then Taylor Swift was shown. Now, you could say, and I don't think it was all the stadium booing her. Look, I'm not a fan of her music, just because, not because I think it's bad or it's not, you know, it's poorly written. I mean, clearly she's capable of writing songs well. It's just not my jam at all. And she was shown and was booed mercilessly. And she became a meme. She became that little monkey meme where the monkey looks at the camera and he's like, for those not watching the simulcast, I just looked sideways at the camera. So she got booed. I think we have that. This was, oh, merciless. And then she looked at the camera. Oh, man. They showed her and she's on the Jumbotron. And oh, she's getting booed. Okay, so explain something to me here, Kane. Is that just Eagles fans doing it because she's the girlfriend of a Chiefs player?
Yeah, there's some of that.
There's definitely some of that.
Well, because there's also a chant of, you know, F Taylor Swift, F Taylor Swift.
That also could be Eagles fans.
Yeah, which are all Eagles fans. So, like I said, there's some of that. But based on the cheers of the president and knowing her stance against Trump, I think that, you know, some of it also was, we know likey you because of your stance on Trump.
Well, POTUS tweeted about it or posted about it. He said, the only one that had a tougher night than the Kansas City Chiefs was Taylor Swift. She got caps lock, booed out of the stadium. MAGA is very unforgiving. Now, I don't know if it just had to do with MAGA. It could have been just the Eagles fans, but I would have still tweeted the same thing. I'm not going to lie. So, a quick sidebar. All of the Eagles fans that I know are super sweet. So I don't get the stereotype about Eagles fans.
What?
I don't get it.
Talking about,
they're super nice.
In what instance have you interacted with Philadelphia Eagles
when I've
fans?
when I've been to Philly?
Really?
Uh-huh.
The Eagles fans that you hung around
they're
with?
There, so they're Eagles fans.
It's not.
One of my friends was at the Super Bowl and they're real nice and they're a big time Eagles fan.
No, there's Eagles fans and then there's Eagles fans at games.
There's not a difference.
There is.
I think that's mean.
I don't know.
I think you're picking on them.
I think Eagles fans at games are perceived to be more mean than just Eagles fans when there's not a game going on.
I think Cardinals fans are the most polite fans. St. Louis fans are the politest.
That is
most
true.
Polite.
Yeah. That's true.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
That's well known.
Vegas Larry says, quote, Eagles fans booed Santa years ago. Oh. I mean, he literally gives you free stuff. Ho, 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 and, you know, Merry Christmas, and here's some presents, you know, blah, 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 but reindeer.
Santa's wearing the other team's colors. Can't have that.
Oh, my gosh, unless he shows up. So, wait, you got to basically show up in green, and then they're like, wait a minute. Ah, okay, I get it. That's actually hysterical. Something about that I find incredibly endearing. Well, anyway, so POTUS was cheered. Taylor Swift was booed. The world is healing. I don't know. It was called the worst Super Bowl in history. It was bad. I feel weird critiquing someone's passes at a game because it's like the same thing as me watching ice skaters do like triple sow cows and me who can't even ice skate going, that was a horrible jump. The technical was missing so bad. I mean, look at the placement of her toe. You know, it feels similar. So I saw, don't laugh at me. I'm not a sports commentator. But I saw Patrick Mahomes, God love him. He just looked heartbroken. His face was just, ugh. But I saw him, you know, throw a pass. And the other guy caught it. Like, and it looked like he was throwing for the Eagles. I gotta say, he was off balance when he threw it. I could even tell that. I'm like, that's not gonna go well. And it didn't. And I just, oh, and then it was downhill from there. I also think that if I watch more than 10 minutes of a game, whoever you all want to win will lose. I am very superstitious with this stuff. Oh my gosh, super superstitious with this.
I'm only a little stitious.
Oh man, I think it maybe dovetailed with I don't know, made me think I had OCD. Like, even when I was in high school and sports, I was super, the way I did my laces, the way I like did my spikes, everything, you know, like I had to have, I would, when I was running and when I did 4x8, I would have to, I could not stand to have sweaty hands with a baton. And I would constantly like interchange it. My coach would scream at me like, who cares? It bothered me. I could feel it as I was running and it bothered me. It's just weird things. And yeah, and see, that's the place where you can be superstitious, right? And I would wear the same, because my high school's colors were red and white, and I would wear like only red that day. And I would wear something dirty if I didn't have anything clean. I don't even care. Very superstitious. That said, I don't think I should watch like any more of the Super Bowls, just because, or Bulls Supers. I was talking about my giant cereal bowl. Thank you. Okay. Nazi. Anyway, the commercials. First halftime show. Kendrick Lamar, not my cup of tea. He's not like heavy enough. That's fine. He's, you know, a Pulitzer Prize winner. He's like this famed lyricist. I don't care. That's great. Not everything translates to that kind of audience, right? When people are watching the Super Bowl halftime show, they're drunk, they're snacking, they're rowdy. They want to have a good time. They don't want any deep dives into anything. They don't want any like anything that's, they just want to have fun. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not saying that his music is bad. I'm just saying that it doesn't translate to that type of, it does not have the energy that was required for that national stage like that, for a Super Bowl. Just different. Like if you're going to have like a hip hop performance, like when they had Snoop out, and who else did they have like a couple of years ago? They had everybody. That was fun. It was energetic. You know, I just felt like that was lacking with us. I don't know. I loved the, like I said, the horns and all of that stuff in the beginning. I also, some of the commercials, I feel like we're going to need a little time to talk about those. Let's get in the commercials here coming up, because I will say there was one commercial that's getting ratioed into a hole in the ground, and that's the He Gets Us one. You had Pfizer that had a commercial. Then they had a commercial. I think you can, while I think that they were, you know, being clever, I do think that it was kind of inappropriate. The one about breast cancer, like it was literally about breasts. And then they were like, oh, and cancer. And then they got like, what's her face? Wanda. You know, when you think of like big boobs and ladies, you think of, you know, the very not feminine female comedian. Just saying. I don't know. I thought that was a little over the top. There were some that were just kind of crazy. The one with Snoop and Tom Brady, where they were pretending to hate each other, and then Snoop said, I can't believe, you know, we have to make an ad about this. Okay, just a reminder. Correct me if I'm wrong here, which is a rhetorical tool, as I'm always accurate. He did do a video where he shot a replica of POTUS in the head, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
He did that.
All right. So I think what's missing here is any kind of acknowledgement of culpability in the heat as it pertains to rhetoric, right? Just saying. Because he's no mild or small-time influencer, all right? It's Snoop Dogg. He's, you know, we grew up with him. I just think that you owe a little more to the audience than just that, right? I mean, it's nice. It was a nice attempt. And I know that he's, I guess, on the POTUS train now, because POTUS pardoned somebody, a friend of his or whatever, who was in prison. I get it. But you have to realize, and I think one of the things that the right doesn't always realize is that a lot of the celebrity support, especially like newfound celebrity support, it hasn't dawned on them yet that the support is transactional. There's support and then there's transactional support. Transactional support means that that support can go and be transacted elsewhere. So something to keep in mind as people, you know, as this discussion continues. The He Gets Us Super Bowl ad is being raised because it's soft, happy, friendly BFF Jesus. And they used the cover of Nine Inch Nails song that Johnny Cash covered on a Rick Rubin album, which was phenomenal. And I saw someone saying, well, they used a story. It was Depeche Mode making a mockery of faith. I don't know if you would go so far as to say that of Dave Gahan and Depeche Mode, and I'm a huge Depeche Mode fan. It's one of my favorite groups. It was also questioning and also mocking one's own inability to believe in something. So it was a lot deeper than that. But that aside, Johnny Cash's cover was great, and he made it where it was his own, and it was a sincere expression of faith and questioning. And some people were saying that the ad was too milquetoast, and that it was, you know, the happy BFF Jesus who never condemns anyone. I think that those concerns are legitimate. I also think that that's, if you read the Gospels and you see that, yes, Jesus was very, you know, this is to come to the Father, to come through me. However, not everything has to be brimstone. History shows gold and silver thrive under strong leadership. During President Trump's first term, gold surged 53% and silver soared 51%. With him back, could precious metals break new records in 2025 and beyond? In times of economic uncertainty, smart investors turn to assets that have proven their worth. Gold and silver have historically outperformed in volatile markets, making them a crucial part of any strategy for preserving and growing wealth. And that's why I trust the partners at Goldco. Secure your financial future today and don't wait until the next economic crisis happens. Goldco is a trusted leader in precious metals, and with over $3 billion in gold and silver secured for hardworking Americans, they've been a top-rated company from the start. Take action and partner with a company that puts your security first. Visit DanaLikesGold.com right now and get a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. On top of that, you could also qualify for up to $15,000 in bonus silver, possibly even more. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Recently, a new client called me and started by saying, "Mr. Morgan, I really need your help, but I'm just a nobody." Those words stunned me, and I immediately called him back. And we're now helping him and his family after a terrible accident. I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Everybody who comes to our firm at their time of need is a somebody. I grew up poor, but my grandmother was like a queen to us. At Morgan & Morgan, our goal is to level the playing field for you and your family at your time of need. The insurance company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. For right at 30 years, we have fought them in courtrooms throughout America. Our results speak for themselves. And always remember this, everybody is a somebody and nobody is a nobody. Visit forthepeople.com to learn about our firm, Morgan & Morgan, for the people.
Injured? Visit forthepeople.com for an office near you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
It's already 12:30. Yep. Headline to me. Yay! Let's see. Ooh, apparently the real Iron Man exists. So it is the real life Iron Man. So, flashback. Do you guys remember seeing the video? We played it on the show of this guy in a jetpack literally landing on a military, like, ship. This guy is that's the real life Iron Man. So he made a deal with the military to use his futuristic jet suit that allows soldiers to soar over war zones at 85 miles per hour plus. Dude, the guy, he's a British engineer. Richard Browning is on a mission to bring jetpacks to the military. His futuristic jet suit uses 5 gas turbines to reach heights of up to 20 feet at an impressive speeds of 85 miles per hour. Can you imagine? Like, that's scarier than a drone. What if you also had, like, guns, like, attached to the tops of your arms and you could just, like, pachoom, pachoom, like punch and it shoots a bullet? I'm just saying. So it is very, you can actually fly in a non-weaponized jet. They don't have them weaponized yet. My first thought was to put guns all over it. At about $8,000 if you're at Goodwood Estate in California. Huh. Yeah, to do that. I don't know why, but it looks pretty cool. I would do it. I'd totally do it in a heartbeat. Oh my gosh, and I'd fly the hell away with it. Although they could probably remotely disable it. Anyway, I need to move. Let's see. Sports betting, the risk of gambling addiction rises too. Duh. What do you think sports betting is? New Zealand is changing to golden visas to lure wealthy immigrants. I guess because all of their productive people left because their former prime minister was a loon. So they need help. Let's see. Ooh. This, what is this? A Gen X dance party that ends at 10 p.m. is taking off across the U.S. It's a new fad. It's founded in Chicago by two friends in their 40s. It's called the Early Birds Club. And people can let loose, but then go home by 10. Everything ends at 10. It starts at 6 and ends at 10. Actually, that sounds lovely. I mean, half of the time, I don't want to go. I'm just saying. Let's see. And the FDA recalls more than 2 million cases of donuts. I don't know. They said they could be contaminated with Listeria, and it's FGF brands in U.S. and Canada. Stick with us. We got more in store. We've been covering, and I am amazed at the progressive freak out over Doge. And one of the things that I said last week was, if you guys remember this, I was questioning what you guys would do in this situation. Like if you had someone, like I have my public Facebook page and I have my private Facebook page and my private Facebook page. You know, I have a couple of friends on there that are a little bit, you know, that I've known since I lived in St. Louis. And they're not correct about politics. Let's just, they lean, you know, pretty left. But we've always been, you know, friends, and I don't do tribalism. However, they have been freaking out over the Elon Musk stuff, right? Like, oh, Doge, you call your lawmakers. Can you believe these people have this access? And I'm like, what makes you think that? Why is it not okay for three nerds to have read-only access, but you have not said anything about all of these people in government, unelected bureaucrats who hate you, by the way, who had access to all of your vital information? You didn't elect any of them. So why are they only just now concerned? And especially, they weren't mad when these people were spending your money, but now they're mad that the unelected nerds with read-only access are saying, no, stop spending this money. That's what's making them mad. And they're trying to use scare tactics to freak everyone out. So I've seen that you're going to get AIDS. We're going to die in a hellfire. Our kids are going to not ever have teachers again. All the old people will die. What else? I could actually sit here and do this for forever. Audio soundbite 6. Listen to this. Listen to Chris Murphy lose his mind. These people are freaking out. Listen.
Listen, I think this is the most serious constitutional crisis the country has faced. Certainly since Watergate, the president is attempting to seize control of power and for corrupt purposes. What? The president wants to be able to decide how and where money is spent so that he can reward his political friends, he can punish his political enemies. That is the evisceration of democracy.
I got my stress guy. It's called Panic Pete. This is what that makes me feel like. So, Chris Murphy, everything is a constitutional crisis. Oh my gosh. How is it a constitutional crisis? Once more. The executive branch, underneath the executive branch is the Treasury Department. The Treasury Department answers to the executive branch. Who is the executive? Once more, Kane.
President of the United States.
President of the United States, a.k.a. Mr. President, a.k.a. POTUS. Yep. Completely, constitutionally, within his purview. That's not even up for debate. That's why this is all so stupid. What is up for debate is everything that is not Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution being spent and serviced. If you want to have a discussion about a constitutional crisis, it is everything that we are doing in our federal government outside of that constitutional scope, Article 1, Section 8, insane. That's a constitutional crisis. Oh my gosh, they're losing their minds over this. And they're acting as though, I mean, when you hear some of the fear-mongering, our democracy is under siege, say Democrats. Then they had the New York Post, they had this headline where according to the again, this is the UN AIDS agency, all these millions of people are going to die from AIDS if we stop giving countries money to study gay sex. That's ultimately what they're saying because they were referencing programs within USAID, which I even think is a stretch because it's drug users also, intravenous drug users. But also, how much money have we spent in the past, I don't know how many decades, telling people how not to get sexually transmitted diseases? Kane, if you had a wager, a guess, how much would it be?
How many, what, decades?
How much do you think we've spent over the decades on telling people how this is how you procreate?
I would
safely.
Say it's close to a trillion. I mean, we've been doing it since the 80s.
Probably
so I would say it's
that.
Probably a trillion or more.
Yeah. Boy, it's really worked out, hasn't it? Apparently not. Without all this government spending, people are just, you know, what's going to happen? Without the government paying PSAs for you to not step into traffic, people are just going to be walking right into traffic and dying, Kane.
Wait, so our billions of dollars to this quote-unquote cause was the only wall holding AIDS back?
That's right. Our taxpayer dollars were literally holding back the AIDS.
Wow.
I know. And now we're taking those dollars away, so the AIDS is just going to come.
Right back.
All the AIDS is coming like a tsunami of AIDS. 525,600 minutes. That's the only thing I know from that play about AIDS. Rent AIDS is what it was called.
So bird flu, AIDS.
Oh, gosh. Pick the way you're going to die. If you don't pay off the plague, it's going to kill you.
We just need the government for all
we
this
just
stuff.
Need. Yeah, we need the government. Protect us, oh, government. Said nobody ever. I don't know, but that's what they're just, the hill. They have their, a tidal wave of resistance is coming for Elon Musk. Really? These people are so stupid. Have you seen them? They couldn't bust a grape in a fruit fight, these people. Well, the resistance is coming. The resistance is coming. Gosh, make our day. So done with us. What is wrong with people? When someone's like, hey, look, your government is wasting per trillions of your dollars. Let's stop it. And then the left out there goes, oh, no. Oh, we'll all die of AIDS. No, we won't. What the hell is wrong with you? Why do you need all this money? I'm just shocked that here you have these dorks doing you a favor. Because they don't even get paid. Saying, hey, we found this spending. You know, pushing their little glasses up on their nose or a little pocket protector. Like, hey, we found all this extra spending. Maybe you guys want to cut it. And the left loses their minds. How dare you save us money? You know why? Because they're not the ones paying tax. Think about it. I bet I pay more tax than Barack Obama.
Probably do.
Oh, I know I pay me some more tax than the Bidens. I mean, hell, if I didn't have any kind of moral compass, I would be fleecing everybody right and left. I'm going to tell you something. It's not just Democrats either. I'm sure you've seen some of these stories with some of these conservative organizations that have been on the dole for USAID. Shall I name some of them? To be honest, was one, which is sad because that's a great group. And I was kind of sad to see them listed. I saw someone trying to explain and gaslight me into how grant money works. That's not how grant money works, sweet cheeks. It's not at all. God love you, but it's not. It goes to show you that there has been a lackadaisical attitude towards accountability that has not just been pervasive on the left. It has been almost equally so on the right. Don't think for a second that and I don't care. I don't care who it is. Any group on the dole of USAID should be dragged. I don't care if they're Republicans. I don't care. I had a friend tell me, well, you know, we shouldn't really criticize some of these Republican groups that were on the dole for USAID. You know, the left is using that as, they're really using that to divide the right. No, that's not my problem. My problem is that I pay six figures, mid to upper six figures in taxes. No joke. And you're now telling me that I can't equally criticize anybody on the right or left who stole our taxpayer dollars to use to pad their pockets because the left might use that and weaponize it against the right. Anybody who took that and they're on the right, they're not on my side. They're traitors to the Constitution. They're traitors to the conservative movement. And they've been fleecing you while pretending to service you. That's my problem. I don't care who all is brought down. Bring them all down. I'm here to get, I want to get rid of it, all of it. And I don't care who goes out with it. If you've been taking the money, bye. I don't care. This is why I hate tribalism. Tribalism prevents true accountability. You can still say you're a hardcore constitutionalist and you're a hardcore conservative and you are all about conserving individual power and you want to limit big government, and you can still say, you know, this group right here that says they agree with me, why were they taking this amount of money? I don't even care if it was less than some of these other groups. Why were they taking any? Accountability for all means accountability for all. There is no discrimination with that. True patriots who want to end this, they know this truth. That's why they are unmoved by these arguments from the left saying, oh, well, but this person, nope. That's not it at all. Not it at all. So I'm all for, you know. Then you got this guy. Can we play this audio? Somebody at 11. So this is, now, this is, a, from what I understand, an Article 3 judge. So in order, so the judge referenced here, you had a judge who's trying to put a limitation on the executive order, Trump being able to hold accountable the Treasury, which I think is stupid because that's unconstitutional. However, to remove this judge, you have to have the House do it and the Senate has to convict. You have to impeach him when it's a judge at this level. But audio soundbite 11, this is a judge who decided, no, Trump is the executive and the executive doesn't get to say what the executive branch does with the executive authority. What? Trump responds.
A couple of court losses, Mr. President, and J.D. Vance said judges aren't allowed to control the executive power. What's your take on that?
Well, we're going to see what happens. We have a long way to go, and we're talking about fraud, waste, abuse, and when a president can't look for fraud and waste and abuse, we don't have a country anymore. So we're very disappointed with the judges that would make such a ruling, but we have a long way to go. We have to look, we have to find all of the fraud that's going on. We have tremendous fraud, tremendous waste, and tremendous abuse, and theft, by the way. And the day you're not allowed to look for theft and fraud, etc., then we don't have much of a country. So no judge should frankly be allowed to make that kind of a decision. It's a disgrace.
I don't see how the judge can. I know some people say, oh, we got to get rid of that judge, but because it's an Article 3, the way that the selection process for a judge of that level, you have to have the House and Senate be involved. Audio soundbite 7. But see this, now I showed you there was one survey that had a 61% approval of Trump. There's another one that has 53. Listen to CNN, what they had to say about the approval of everything Trump's been doing. Audio soundbite 7.
You know, I think one of the things that's so important for politicians is for folks to believe what they're saying and that they're keeping their campaign promises. So I think this gives you a pretty gosh darn good idea of what may be going on. Trump's doing what he promised to do. You go back to April of 2017, it was just 46% of all Americans who said that Trump was doing what he promised to do. Compare that now to February of 2025. You know, there was a good show that was on during the 1990s called A Different World. That is what's going on right now. We're living in a different world. 70% of Americans say Trump is doing what he promised to do. Again, compare that to April of 2017 when it's just 46%.
Wow.
When Americans are 24 points more.
That's huge. And the left, they have no way to combat this. The only thing that they have to do is what they've always done, complete hysteria. But where do they go from there? You can't just, you know, say, uh-uh. You can't. This is why, by the way, this is why it's so important for these states, every red state, to be able to mobilize and help back up his agenda state by state. Now you're seeing why I've been getting so infuriated at rhinos in Florida and in Texas. Now you get it. Why they deserve all your scorn, too.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.